And we're back. Taylor Report, CIT, 89.5 FM. And do we have David on the line? You're there, David.
I'm here. Hi, how are you?
Good, and thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, the headlines are that Canada's going to take a stand on something called the Magnitsky Act. And it seems to involve this new issue of attitude towards Russia. We seem to be Magnitsky. I want to get to in a moment, and why anybody in the Canadian Parliament is talking about a Russian matter. But the enthusiasm, and what I see in today's Toronto Star editorial, seems to be kind of a. Based on we're going to show up Putin, and therefore, and we've chosen this thing. Tell us what this is about. Why now? I understand that our former foreign minister, Mr. Dion, was not in favor of taking this step. But under Chrystia Freeland, they are taking it. What is she asking Canada to do?
Well, that's the key to this. The key is timing, you know. Timing is everything here. Stefan Dion was not in favor of enacting a Magnitsky Act. And the Magnitsky Act allows the Canadian government to impose sanctions on people they believe to be bad people in Russia. So the bad people in Russia in this case would be the people they've accused of, or rather, Bill Browder's accused of killing a man called Sergei Magnitsky. The fact that this is a cloudy matter is of no moment. So Stefan Dion said, we don't need the Magnitsky Act, and he had two reasons as I understand it. I hope I'm correct. One was, we are trying to improve relations with Russia, and two, you don't need that. We have laws in Canada to prosecute criminals. And so this is an unnecessary act. Now, if he's correct about that, and I believe he is, the act itself is a piece of propaganda, and it's intended to ratchet up anti-Russian feeling. And it's an act that was promoted in the United States by such people as John McCain and others, being promoted in Britain, Estonia, Latvia, and in Canada. And as you correctly point out, Stefan Dion, who was summarily dismissed, and I gather in a kind of embarrassing way, for Chrystia Freeland to come in, who I'm assuming the powers that be in Canada assumed would have a more hostile position to Russia, because she has had a more hostile position towards Russia. She's run article after article critical of Russia. She doesn't apparently like any particular Russian government, particularly at the moment, not the government of Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she uses this kind of, she seems to work with crayons. I mean, the Globe, Star all use the word bad guys. I like your point. Dion, a lot of us have noticed this in the past years, it's his growing animus towards Russia, that there are laws on books to deal with these things. These seem to be more in terms of propaganda or publicity in order to just kind of give the Russians a bad name.
It is. And the story is a quite outlandish story told by a quite outlandish man with an obvious conflict of interest. Here is a man, Bill Browder. I mean, can I talk about Bill for a minute, you know?
Yes, please.
Bill is an American right-winger who saw the main chance. He had originally worked for such illustrious people as Robert Maxwell. And coming out of that, he saw his chance when the Soviet Union was collapsing and state assets were being sold off in a fairly massive corruption scheme under President at the time, Yeltsin. Mm-hmm. So he created a hedge fund in Russia and invested, by some accounts, $25 million of his own money. Sounds like a lot when you hear what the return, but it's not, doesn't sound like a lot, rather, when you hear what the return was apparently he parlayed the $25 million that he invested to a $4.5 billion, roughly, hedge fund in Russia called Hermitage. When things started to get sticky for Mr. Browder, a few things. The Russians started to get queasy about the massive sell-off of their assets and put some brakes on it. For example, only Russians could buy these things. And secondly, they started to investigate the oligarchs, including Browder, for their dealings. One of the investigations involved a claim by the Russian authorities that Browder was involved in a massive tax fraud, in the amount of $230 million, claiming a loss in his companies, which apparently didn't exist. So the story now is, well, Magnitsky was some kind of whistleblower, and the whistleblower is a very strange whistleblower because on the accusations that Browder was essentially stealing tax money, defrauding the taxpayer in Russia, Browder hits back with a story that, oh, well, his companies involved in this alleged fraud had been taken over by nefarious bad people involved with the Russian government. Well, that already sounds fishy. So the next part, his accountant, a man called Sergei Magnitsky, was arrested and questioned. Sergei Magnitsky apparently put together this tax scheme. According to Andrei Nekrasov, a Russian filmmaker, and for a long time opponent of President Putin, somebody who had made films really critical of the Putin position on things like Chechnya, Georgia, and so on, in the course of his making a film where he was intending to repeat the Browder-Magnitsky story, he found that nothing fit the Browder-Magnitsky narrative. For example, he found no evidence in any of the documents that Magnitsky had blown the whistle or had gone to the police with his story about Russian corruption. He, in fact, was invited by the police to be investigated, was arrested because of his role in all of these things. He did die in jail. And again, this is where the stories become muddled and where the Canadian Parliament, the American Parliament, and so on have done a fabulous disservice by simply taking Bill Browder's word as to what happened. There's a lot of accounts of what happened. It's clear that Mr. Magnitsky died in jail. He might have died from a heart attack. He was a man with a variety of medical conditions, apparently. And he might have died from not having proper medical attention in jail. That's possible. Mm-hmm. But a large number of people saw his body very shortly after he died. None of them recounted seeing bruising on the body, which would have been consistent with this tremendous yes. tale of his being beaten to death in jail.
Right, which the Star says today. But you say the actual physical witnesses did not see that or say that they saw it.
That's right. And by the way, the witnesses were not all on Putin's side, so to speak. Some of them were critical of the conditions in jail. At least one was a doctor, a psychiatrist, and mm-hmm. so on. So you have that. So at least our parliamentarians should be scratching their heads and saying, why are we going to enact this act in the name of Magnitsky and on the word of Bill Browder, which word is now under tremendous attack? Andrei Nekrasov, the filmmaker, eventually made a film called The Magnitsky Act, which he's had Behind the Scenes, which he's had tremendous trouble showing anywhere. It's actually banned. He tried to show it to the European Parliament. It was all set up. And under threats by Bill Browder, they refused to show it. So I had thought that was available on the Internet. I looked. It appears on YouTube. But I have to say that before coming on this show, I looked to the YouTube link. And eventually, apparently, it's either been hacked or something, but you get just a blank screen. Yeah. And I must say that when I looked at it this morning,
who can I say is wants to see this? Please give us your name.
Well, your listeners can listen to an hour-long interview that Brian Becker, who many of you may know, he's a political analyst you see on television. Brian Becker did an interview with Andrei Nekrasov. So I think if you Google that, you can find it. I think Sputnik, the Sputnik website, makes it available. There are a lot of other accounts. There's a man called Israel Shamir, S-H-A-M-I-R. And again, if you Google Shamir Browder or Shamir Magnitsky, his blog will come up. It's called the UNZ Report, I believe, UNZ.com. And there are a lot of other people who are writing about it.
Yeah.
But, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that it's very – I'm glad you name it's Becker and it's Nekrasov. Is that his name?
Yeah, N-E-K-R-A-S-O-V, a Russian filmmaker.
Now, this is being sold in such a peculiar way. The Star editorial is putting an end to impunity. And then it says we have to be, you know, invoke – moral values and rather than just to be like bad old Dion, you know, pragmatic. But my goodness, they just sold a ton of weapons to Saudi Arabia, and everybody just, well, they're comfortable with that. But now all of a sudden we're going to show the world how moral Canada is. It's rather alarming. The other thing was, you pointed out, the Star says that this is a worldwide trend, and the worldwide trend is the United States, Britain, Lithuania, which, by the way, hasn't even done it yet, Estonia. So it's United States, Britain, Estonia, John McCain, and Canada. That seems to be the long list of world powers. Really shocking. Allegedly, there's something moral about it. But I want to ask you another issue. The Star, oddly, decided to touch on the matter of Chrystia Freeland, and we like to talk about this subject. We think it's kind of interesting that people be reminded. It says that there's an issue here. It said that Chrystia Freeland has been smeared by pro-Russian websites, focusing attention on the fact her maternal Ukrainian grandfather was a Nazi collaborator. Well, that isn't quite accurate, is it? You're a lawyer, and so it's not. She has never said that.
She certainly hasn't said that in recent memory. She might have said it to her uncle Himke, Thoris Himke, 20 years ago or so. But no, she hasn't. And when she was confronted about her Nazi grandpa, she repeated this story about a Russian smear job. And by the way, that's in itself a smear job, because the story about her Russian, or the expose of her Nazi grandfather, didn't come from Russia. Actually came out of the well-known Putin body, the archives of the government of Alberta. Where I said Putin body as a joke, actually.
The hidden Bolsheviks of Alberta.
Yeah, that's right.
Who kept the 25 boxes that he gave them.
That's right. And it's not a smear. I mean, as I understand, a smear is you're lying about somebody. You're telling something that is not true about somebody. Her grandfather was a Nazi, a capital N Nazi. He was
celebrating
Nazi
the destruction of Jews.
That's right. He celebrated the
in his
persecution
paper.
And slaughter of Jews in his newspaper, Ukrainian newspaper, which was run out of Poland and then Austria, under the watchful eyes of the Nazis. But what seems to be important in all this, and what's worrisome when we're talking about conflicts of interest all over the place, here you have our foreign minister, who has yet to admit that her grandfather is a Nazi, much less condemn her grandfather's Nazism. Her grandfather, we know, was not only a Nazi, but his newspaper promoted the Waffen-SS and recruited people to join the fight against what was our ally in World War II, Russia. And we know that he had fanatically anti-Russian views, or at least that's what came out in the paper. Chrystia Freeland can be counted on to have strong anti-Russian views. And the Magnitsky Act should be, for any sentient person, a red flag. What it does is allow people or want people to think all sorts of absurdities about Russia. That is, it's a state which is out of control. It's a violent state with a violent dictator in control. And it tortures people to death in prisons, and its court system is unreliable and so on.
Demonization.
All that, yeah. Nekrasov says that once you start down this road, once you've said this, then you can believe anything about Russia, including its court system. Nothing is reliable. Yes. And I mentioned the court system because there was a trial where Bill Browder was convicted in absentia of this massive tax fraud. And during that trial, by the way, Magnitsky himself was the court commented on his behavior here.
Yeah.
But what you have at the end of the day is absurdities. But it's absurdities we are supposed to believe now.
Well,
that this billionaire hedge fund operator, a man who used to work for Robert Maxwell, we can take him on his word that he is a person who's deeply concerned about human rights, and he's a human rights crusader, and we should stand together with him.
Yes.
And John McCain and Samantha Power and Chrystia Freeland.
Yes.
In ramping up the anti-Russian rhetoric.
Yeah. Well, I have to interrupt you there, and I guarantee you neither you nor I are going to join that group. David Jacobs, we're very grateful. Thank you very much. You clarified that matter for us.
My pleasure.
I'll get over. This is Tata Report. I want to remind you, David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, brought to you by CIUT this Thursday, May 25, 7 to 8:30 p.m. The doors open at 6:30. It's the East Common Room, Hart House, U of T. Tickets are $15. Visit eventbrite.com or ciut.fm. Very important. David Barsamian, Thursday, May 25 at 7 to 8:30. Doors open at 6:30. This is Phil Tata. I want to thank Patrick, and we'll see you next week.